Hi everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Product Marketing Insider podcast. My name is Lawrence Chapman and I'm a copywriter here at Product Marketing Alliance. This week's episode is brought to you by AppQues. Have you ever launched a feature that went unused? Waited days or even weeks to get that user data you requested? Well, you're not alone. We're still way too dependent on developers. That's why product marketers around the world are calling AppQues their new favorite product marketing tool. AppQues empowers product marketers to measure and improve product adoption without a developer. Brands like Amplitude, Privy, Full Story, and Lyft use AppQues to track feature usage and engage users with in-app onboarding tours, feature announcements, and surveys with no code required. Go to appques.com to start your free trial today. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Kelly Anderson, Product Marketing Manager at Google. Kelly's a product marketing leader with diverse experience in bringing solutions to the market, driving product adoption, building product strategies, influencing senior and international teams, and learning technical concepts quickly. Previously a product marketer at Microsoft, Kelly has a proven ability to clearly communicate, collaborate with multiple stakeholders, and deliver solutions that meet customer needs. Thanks so much for joining me, Kelly.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so just to start, can you please explain your current role at Google for the audience, please?
Sure. So I currently lead product marketing for user protection services, and these are security products that businesses can use to secure their end users. And it's so important right now because we live in this new world where business is mainly conducted online. And so in addition to businesses using security products to protect their business, they now have to think about how they're securing the customers that they do business with.
Okay, awesome. And why is it that made you want to become a product marketer in the first place?
So many things, but I think first and foremost, like, I was so intrigued by this intersection of product and marketing and sales and what it would feel like to be, right, just at that intersection of it all. But I've always really loved writing and storytelling, and I knew that it was important to the product marketing role, but I didn't really know how essential it was until I got started in product marketing.
Yeah, we've spoken to quite a few guests and they just pick out straight away. They're like, oh yeah, I just love writing and I wanted to apply it to a particular career path. I wasn't sure which way I wanted to go. And then I just stumbled into product marketing. I was like, just being this accidental product marketer tag that we found just like banding around quite a lot. So, in terms of your first job in product marketing, what did that look like and how did you get into the industry in the first place?
Yeah, so I actually got started in product marketing because when I was first out of college, my first job was with Microsoft and I worked as a technical account manager. And it was a sales role, but it wasn't a sales role. Like, we had an unspoken quota and I just hated having the stress of a quota. So I have so much more respect after going through that experience for my sales team. When I work with them, I'm like, I know the kind of pressure that you're under. But I realized, right, the quota, it wasn't for me. I was craving something more creative and I also wanted to be closer to a product. And so that's what led me to product marketing and getting my first job in product marketing. And so I was interviewing for all kinds of marketing jobs at Microsoft. And then I finally got my first job as being the product marketing manager for Azure Backup and Azure Site Recovery. And I know there are some people maybe that are listening that are in cloud that like don't think they're the coolest products, but they're definitely staples. Like, you need them in the cloud. And so I was just responsible for your typical product marketing activities, such as like working closely with the product team on the roadmap or pricing our products or writing blog posts to announce new product features.
Oh, no, that sounds great. And can you take us through what your path looks like or your career path looks like from that initial role you had at Microsoft to where you are now at Google?
Yeah. So like I had mentioned, right, I started out as a technical account manager. It was not a marketing role. It was a sales, but not a sales role. And I wasn't enjoying it because of the stress I had trying to hit a quota, craving something more creative and wanting to be closer to the product. So when I got my first job, and I want to add, like, I did a lot of interviewing. So if our listeners out there are listening and, you know, they're still interviewing a lot for a product marketing job, like, you're not alone. It can sometimes take some time to really find that right product marketing role for you. And that's okay. But when I first got the job as the product marketing manager for Azure Backup and Azure Site Recovery, I had no idea what I was doing. And I was truly learning on the job. This was the first time I had ever done things like messaging and positioning, or creating a go-to-market plan, or even launching a feature or product. And so I felt so out of my league. And I always felt like my boss was going to regret hiring me. And to add to that, I also had a lot of difficult stakeholders. And so I felt like everybody around me could see that I didn't know what I was doing and tried to take advantage of that. So let's just say, like, there were a lot of growing pains my first year in product marketing. But then there was this opportunity to market security products for Microsoft's cloud, Azure. And I was really intrigued by how the cloud was changing the game in terms of how we did most things, including security. And so even though I didn't know anything about security at that time, I went for it because I knew from my previous experience that I could learn anything. I knew enough about cloud to be dangerous, and I could just figure the rest out on the job. So I got the job, yay. And I was the product marketing manager for Azure Security All Up. And that was mainly focused around a lot of awareness and thought leadership. And then more product specific, I was a product marketing manager for Azure Security Center and Azure Sentinel. But then I went to Google Cloud, which is where I'm at now. And I went to Google Cloud to help them launch Security Command Center, which is a competitor to Azure Security Center, as well as launch products such as Security Health Analytics, Cloud Security Scanner, and Event Threat Detection. And then from the security management and threat detection and response space, I moved to the online fraud space at Google, which is where I'm at now. And I market the products reCAPTCHA Enterprise, WebRisk, and Safe Browsing.
I know that sounds like a, you know, quite an, you know, an interesting journey that you've taken. And as you say, you know, a lot of people perhaps would have, after having that initial difficulty of, you know, actually securing that first product marketing role, maybe might have got a little bit despondent and given up.
Yeah.
So it's good that you've you know, that you've stuck with it and managed to you know, forge a career in you know, the industry that you were looking for. So that's fantastic. And can you tell us a little bit more about your direct team at Google in terms of numbers and roles, please?
Yes. So my direct marketing team that I partner with is about 16 people with roles ranging from growth marketing to digital marketing. There is a much bigger marketing team that I do partner with, but that's my direct team that I work with on a fairly regular basis. My product team has about 32 engineers, and I almost want to put an asterisk next to it because this number is growing, which is fantastic for the product. I work with two product managers. My sales team has 15 people, and I work with one UX designer.
Okay, that sounds great. And that kind of brings me, like, quite nicely onto the next question, to be honest. So I was going to ask you, which departments you say you interact with most, and almost like what your relationship is with them, your relationship with them, like, what's that like? Because I spoke to quite a few different product marketers whilst been doing the series, and it's almost like quite interesting to see how different product marketers report to different departments and like what their relationships are like. Yeah. So what does it look like for your in your role at Google?
Yeah, so I would say in this role right now, I interact the most with product and sales. We have some kind of meeting together every day, and our relationship is solid. And I'm not just saying this in case they listen to the podcast. This is one of the most special product teams I've ever been a part of. I would say first, we all really respect each other's roles and functions. And I know that in tech, like especially in the enterprise space, which is what I work in, there can be this hurdle of marketing not always being treated like an equal. In a lot of tech companies, it's very much engineering or product led, and then marketing or sales are looped in. And that is not the case with this team. I would also say it's very special because we're all extremely dedicated to making the product successful. And so there's this deep appreciation about each function and what they do to make the product successful. I think it's super clear to everyone on my team the value that each function brings, and therefore we know that we wouldn't be as successful as we are if we didn't have one of the stakeholders at the table. And it's literally reflected in our numbers and data. Right now, we are one of the top revenue generating products for Google Cloud Security. And I believe that it is because of this amazing synergy that we've been able to establish between the teams. The business person in me, the marketer in me, wants to do a case study on this because I really do believe like there is value, there is this correlation of showing the importance of cross-functional collaboration and inclusion and respect and how that can be directly translated into business impact.
No, definitely be inclined to agree with you as far as collaboration is concerned. I mean, every single time that we do some sort of research and ask about product marketing skills, I think the last one they did in the State of Product Marketing report, collaboration and teamwork was literally right up there in the top one or two. It's almost one of them where I was like I always apply the like the House of Cards. the House of Cards analogy. It's almost like you take one card out and everything just comes falling down, really. So I can definitely see I can definitely see why you'd consider collaboration to be such an important part of the role, really. Obviously you're just having gone through the obligatory LinkedIn snoop before we started our call.
Flattered.
So you identify go-to-market strategy or go-to-market strategies is listed as one of your specialist areas. What would you consider to be the most important questions that a go-to-market strategy needs to address?
Yeah, so I'm a marketer, right? So I feel like the best way to respond to this is like, the top five questions every marketer should think about when they're coming up with their go-to-market strategy. But we marketers, we think in groups, right? Top three, top five, top 10. But when you asked that, I was like, oh, I just can't refuse from responding and sounding like a marketer. From my perspective, right, the top five questions I think that we product marketers should think about when we're creating that go-to-market strategy is first and foremost, like, what is my target market, right? And you can start broad and make it more narrow as we start to think about the market size, the segments, the verticals, the titles and roles or geographies that we want to target. The second or the next question that I would think about is who is my target audience, right? And that will largely be informed based on that previous question, right? What are the personas that we can build, right, for our product? The third question that I would ask is how do I create compelling messaging and positioning statements to my target audience, right? And that's building off of the previous two questions, thinking about what are the reasons my target audience should buy my product over my competitors. That's super important to have reflected in your messaging and positioning statements. The fourth question I would ask is where and how do we sell, right? if you know who you're targeting, how are you going to go after and get them? And what is that customer? And that leads me to five, getting ahead of myself, but then thinking about customer acquisition, right? Then if we know who we're going after and we know how to go after them, how do we gain and retain customers?
Now that's great. You know, it's one of those where, I don't know, it's almost like an area that I always find quite interesting because for such an important part of product marketing, like there's so many different ways to go about it. There's no fixed way of applying a go-to-market strategy. You know, I've spoke to other product marketers and they've said, oh no, I go about things in X, Y, and Z. You know, you'll, yourself now, you've got, you know, these, you know, that, you know, five tips or five ways that you go about things that are totally, you know, totally different. So, I mean, obviously that it isn't always a case of having a go-to-market or, you know, starting a go-to-market strategy from scratch. A lot of companies have an existing product marketing, go-to-market strategy. What advice would you give product marketers to help them develop an existing strategy to make it even better?
I feel like this is like one of the hills that I will die on as a product marketing manager, but I would say never underestimate the importance of taking the time or the budget to conduct market research to know your customer, right? Like we as product marketers, we are the voice of our customer. And so I believe to be a really strong voice for your customer, like you gotta know your customer, like you have to be customer obsessed. And so if you don't know, right, like who is your customer? You don't know who you're targeting. You don't know what they care about. All of your efforts that follow, right? So an existing GTM, like all of your plans that you have already made, it won't matter. It won't be effective because you don't know how to connect with your audience and make them care about your product.
Okay. And in some instances, product marketers can, or, you know, people just in general can almost confuse a product launch with a go-to-market strategy and get the two almost a little bit, you know, almost like some blurred lines between the two. So how would you differentiate a go-to-market strategy from a product launch? How are the two different?
Yeah. So I would think about two things. And I try to apply this always to my line of work. So we're in this together. First, I think it's really helpful to think about a go-to-market strategy as something that can be applied to a number of different scenarios. And one of those scenarios is a product launch. So in my own line of work at Google, what I usually do is I put together my go-to-market plan for that fiscal year. And part of that plan, right, because we're mapping and blocking things out, you know, for 12 months, will include, based on my product team's roadmap, when certain features or products are supposed to be launching. And then the second thing that I find is really helpful to think about is that a go-to-market strategy is distinguished from a product launch based on its scope. So a go-to-market strategy, right, it is very broad, right? Like I was talking about when I put together my own go-to-market plan for the year, it's encompassing of product launches and feature launches, but also so many things. So the go-to-market strategy definitely includes more steps and a much longer timeline than the product launch or feature launch itself.
Okay, fab. Well, thanks for clearing it up for me as well, because I am one of those people who sometimes may fall into that strand of not knowing the difference.
We all fall into that, you know, like we're all in this together.
And what challenges have you previously faced when putting together a go-to-market strategy? And more importantly, how did you overcome these obstacles to achieve your goals?
Yeah, so you know, I've said this, right? Like the hill that I'm going to die on is the importance of taking time and budget to conduct market research, right? To know your target audience, to get in their mindset, and make sure that the product that you're bringing to them adds value, right? So one of the biggest challenges that I have faced is not having budget for market research. And I don't think that I'm alone in this. I think that this is a very real challenge that a lot of product marketers face. And I also want to call out that, you know, I have worked for Microsoft and Google, and these are very large and well-staffed companies. And I still, as a marketer, have had to be resourceful and scrappy. And so to anyone who's listening and thinking, you know, well, maybe I'm just having challenges with my go-to-market because of the size of my company or the size of my marketing team, like, based on my experiences, like, you are not alone. I think this is everywhere, you know, no matter how big your company is or no matter how well-known or how well-funded, this is a very real product marketing challenge. And so, like I was just saying, like, when I didn't have budget to conduct market research, I had to be really scrappy. And so in the past, I had done a couple things. I had looked at research produced from other marketing teams to see, you know, if the personas, right, the market size, the segments, the role, like everything that I have previously mentioned about what's important to think about in a go-to-market strategy, if that had some crossover or application to my line of work. I also was a little proactive, maybe people would say like a little ambitious, and I got budget from other teams to fund my market research, right? Product marketing, like I've shared, we work with sales, we work with product, we work with UX, and sometimes some of our stakeholders have extra budget. And so I was able, right, because we're one team, we're all driving success with the product, to talk to my stakeholders and say, hey, you know, here is my business case, here's the value that I want to bring to the product. But in order to make that happen, I need some budget. So working cross-functionally and getting budget from my peers. I've also had to look at my competitors' web pages. Don't underestimate the interwebs. And just see how they were positioning themselves, how they were talking about their product's benefits. And also viewing their demos, right? Whether it was like on their product page or on YouTube. And seeing firsthand like what their UI looked like, how the product worked, and both looking at their web pages as well as exploring how their products worked, it just really helped me provide more color into who my customers were and what they cared about. So, you know, again, for anyone listening who's in this situation, I know it's not ideal, but don't lose hope because there are some workarounds.
Okay, and you kind of alluded to market research, and so this does kind of link into the next question. And like, almost like, would you say that almost like in some ways, companies perhaps not investing in market research, would you say that that's almost like a common mistake that you've seen made when, you know, teams are trying to put together a go-to-market strategy? And in addition to that, what would you say that some of the other mistakes are that you've seen product marketers make when going through the process?
Yeah. So man, Lawrence, you just tee up these like top four, top five, top these questions so well. Like, I love it because I'm listening to this and I'm going, all right, top four common mistakes, right? Marketer to marketer. So for all the product marketers listening, right? Like I would say the top four common mistakes I've seen product marketers make, but I also want to throw myself into that ring because I am by no means a perfect product marketer. I challenge myself to learn and grow every day. But the first thing I commonly see and I've experienced myself is not asking myself and my product team what the goal is, right? Like, why is marketing here? Is it to generate revenue? Always, right? Marketing, at the end of the day, we always care about making money. But to generate revenue, are we going to generate revenue through driving awareness, through driving product adoption, some combination of both? Like, we really need to know what our end goal is before we dive into the how. The second thing is, like you had just mentioned, we don't take time to try to conduct some form of market research to understand our customers. I would say the third thing is we don't clearly communicate to our target and audience through our messaging and positioning that our product or our solution is differentiated enough to be chosen over the competitions. And then the last thing is that we usually do not include or note or make space for sales enablement.
Okay. And I'm going to tee you up for another potential top five. Don't feel the need to, you know, fill a quota if you don't want to. But
sweating bullets over here.
So storytelling and messaging. You've already said that you know they're two areas that you're passionate about, and they form a key part of your role as a product marketer. What does compelling messaging look like from your perspective?
Yeah. Oh man, I really want to do a top three. It's so hard to resist.
If you want to do a top three, that's fine.
I'm going to do my top three. All the product marketers out there were like, oy vey, right? But the first thing that I would say that compelling messaging has is you are speaking directly towards your target audience's needs, desires, wants, pain points, right? Like you're not tiptoeing around that. The second thing is you establish why your product is different from the other products in the market. And we as product marketers know, right, there's a lot of noise out there. And so that's why that differentiation is so key, because there's so many viable options in the prospect's mind, but the likelihood of them remembering all products is very low. Like there's usually one product that gets the recognition in that prospect's mind. And so the more differentiation you can communicate in your messaging, the more likely your product will be remembered by that prospect. And then the third thing is you clearly explain the benefits of your product, right? Focusing on the benefits of your product is so important.
I'm going to be in absolute pain now, and I'm going to ask you in the next question for an additional top three. So brace yourself. Obviously, you know, throughout your career so far, you've built up a multitude of skills that you've applied to, obviously, as you were saying before, previously at your role at Microsoft and now obviously being at Google. Yeah. But if you had to kind of pinpoint three top skills that have helped you to get you out, that have helped you to like get to where you are today, what would you say the top three skills are and why?
I would say first, resilience. Right, like when I first started product marketing, I had my first role, I felt like I was constantly drowning, but there was a part of me, right, that knew like it was all temporary, right? It's just part of being new and learning and growing. And my desire to grow as a product marketer like outweighed all of the other things that were happening around me. So for everyone listening, right, like as you are challenging yourself and growing as a product marketer, if you hit a hard time, whether that's, you know, with interviewing, with your current product team, with your marketing team, with your sales team, like don't give up. It's just part of product marketing life. Hang in there. You got this. One of the things I think has been most helpful for me to think about is, what can I learn from this experience, right? Because I have found that I often learn so much more from my challenges and my mistakes than I do from my successes. So, you know, when things are going right, take a deep breath, ask yourself, like, what can you learn from this? How can you grow? And then just keep staying the course, because, you know, all good things won't last forever, but all bad things won't last forever either. So you're not alone, and this too shall pass. I think the second thing is confidence. When I first started product marketing, and really every role I've had in product marketing, it wasn't a perfect fit, right? Like I didn't come to the job with all of the skills required on the job description. And I think that's okay. I think that's really good. Like, I don't think we as product marketers want to take jobs where we already know how to do everything, right? Like, that defeats the fun, the creativity, the challenges. Like, we want to sign up for a job where we can learn, where we can stretch ourselves, where we can think in a new way, where we can work with different people that can teach us something. And so even though you might feel imposter syndrome, or you might feel, you know, like myself, how I felt in my first product marketing role, where I was just so out of my element, super uncomfortable, never lose sight of the value that you bring. I really do believe, so first of all, I do believe that like marketing is magic, right? Like, we create magic, but I do believe every product marketer has their own magic. And so if you have that confidence in what you bring, despite the fact that you might be in a new situation or learning a new skill set, like, that will shine, that will come across, that will carry you through. And just, you know, don't ever lose sight of the value and like what you bring to the table, both as an individual and a marketer. And then I think the third thing is gratitude. So much easier said than done, right? Especially like in product marketing, if we're having a very challenging product team or budget conversation, it can feel sometimes so not genuine to feel gratitude in that moment for our job and what we do. But I just feel so much gratitude to all the people in my life, first and foremost, that have helped me to get to where I am in my career. Like, I really do believe in that saying, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to grow a product marketer. And so I'm so thankful for all the people that have taken time to invest in me. And so I try to, you know, retroactively, proactively do that myself. And this is one of the many reasons why I love Product Marketing Alliance. Like, the more we can invest in the product marketing community, the better. But not only just taking time to, you know, practice gratitude for all the people who have helped me, but just also practicing gratitude for all of the experiences that I've had. And I know I kind of touched on that earlier, of just being able to say, you know, maybe pricing this product was really hard, or maybe working with a certain product manager was really hard, or maybe, like, you know, advocating for more budget or resources with a VP was a very hard conversation, but I'm still so grateful to have had it, because it just makes me a wiser, more helpful, more impactful product marketer. And there, again, there's just so much value in that.
Now that's genuinely like such a great answer. Like, I love that, like, love that marketing is magic element as well. the main thing for me was, I really like just that whole thing of, you know, you need to make mistakes to learn, because ultimately, like, we are human. Like, we are human. We make mistakes. There's no such thing as being, you know, perfect, as much as we like to think that we're perfect and we're exempt from making mistakes. It just doesn't happen. You can have like somebody sat in the most senior position in your company and, you know, guarantee that they make mistakes every day. You know, they may say they don't,
we're on to them, Lawrence. We'll find them.
We'll find them and we'll fight them. We'll put them in the place. But you know, it is okay not to know the answer to every single question. I think that's I think it's a really important point that you make, and just to kind of remember and, you know, almost like succumb to that element of imposter syndrome, because, you know, it can just totally avoid it if you just, you know, take a step back and you remember that, you know, you're not expected, or you shouldn't be expected to know the answers to everything. A great list of three. So that's great. So moving on to what introducing new products and features looks like
with
Google.
Yeah.
Just take me through the process. Or give me, I know what, this is a very elongated process, no doubt, but could you just almost give me an abridged version of what that looks like at Google? And if you could perhaps compare it to what it looked like in your role at Microsoft.
Yeah. I have felt that they're both pretty similar. So the work back process leading up to a product launch or a feature launch, I like to call launch day blast off day. That's just, you know, my own quirky product marketing-ism. But like you said, it's a really long process. So I work in the B2B space, right? We market products to other enterprises. And so the product launch preparation starts with messaging testing, right? Making sure that our messaging and positioning, our differentiated value prop, all that goodness registers with our target audience. Based off of that messaging, there's a lot of content that's created. A lot of that content is geared towards sales enablement. We work with industry analysts as well as journalists to help them amplify the announcement. We work with our internal social media teams to get the right interactive content to amplify that announcement. As the product marketers, we prepare a lot of digital content. So maybe that's making a new web page, maybe that's updating an existing web page, that's promoting a webinar. It could be creating a new product video. It could be writing the announcement blog. So a lot of this product and feature launch announcement work is driven by the PMM. But at companies that are as big as Google and Microsoft, right, a lot of the teams that help us like push out that content, whether it's like the web team or the sales enablement team, they have their own schedules and their own bandwidth. So there's a lot of cross-functional communication and organization. So sooner is better. So the earlier that we can let all of these different teams know like what's coming out in the pipeline and what we're preparing and how we can work together to make sure that that launch is really successful is better for everyone.
Okay, sounds great. And obviously, you know, just speaking with you in the time that's elapsed so far, I can see like how passionate you are about product marketing, and that's fantastic. But obviously, I've said it to a lot of guests. In my time presenting the podcast, there are always areas whereby product marketing can be improved. Is in your opinion, what do you think perhaps needs to change from other people or within product marketing itself to make it even better than it is already?
Yeah. So like I've said, right, I'm kind of on this unicorn product team right now where I feel product marketing sales, we're very much equal, we're very much aligned, but that's not always the case. And so what I think needs to change is that product marketing needs to have a lot more influence on the product team. Mm-hmm. Like I had mentioned, you know, one way, one style, and I'm purely speaking right of my experiences, I've just worked for large tech companies, is to have engineers or product managers lead the product strategy or the go-to-market, because they are the ones who are building the product. And then they loop in, right? They kind of add on marketing just to be like, hey, you know, here's what we're doing, so go market it. But in a perfect world, and I really think like how product marketing was designed to work, is that product marketing, because we have had the budget to conduct market research, we have data on who our customers are, what they want, how to go after them. And so the earlier the product teams can pull us in, the more we can help those product teams build a solution to our target audience's problems. Because I genuinely believe, based on, you know, my years of experience working with engineers and product managers, like they want to build things that customers love, right? Like no one wants to go on Twitter and see like mean tweets about their product, right? Or no one wants to see on social media, like people tweeting, like they need help or support for their product, right? But I just think there has to be a shift in where marketing comes in to the development and the influence of the product roadmap, and just the product in general. And then that way, you know, if product marketing is looped in earlier, we can help our engineers and our product managers build a viable product. And then now that we've got this amazing product that everybody wants, marketing can work its magic and get customers to buy it. And so I'll also add that with product marketing, I feel that in addition to, you know, showing our stakeholders the impact that marketing has, there's also a huge education piece. And I think that's a lot of times why marketing isn't as a dominant of a role in the product team as it should be, is I think that, you know, it's a mix, like I've heard this, I feel like I've experienced this, that marketing is a mix of science and art, right? Like we are the business function and the product team, like, you know, we have measurable goals, but also a lot of the, you know, storytelling and the awareness work that we do cannot always be quantified. And so when we work with our stakeholders, like sales or engineering, where they have very like logical, measurable goals, I think sometimes marketing can come across or it can feel kind of like this high in the sky, like concept and idea. And so I think that there just isn't always an understanding of the value that we bring, because not everything we do is always directly measurable. So I think having a bigger say in the product, right, being more included in the team is also has to run in parallel with educating our stakeholders on what we do and the value that we bring.
Okay, fantastic. And if there are any new or aspiring product marketers listening to the episode, what would your advice be to them to help them almost like get the most out of their product marketing journey?
Just go for it. Mm-hmm. Right. When I started product marketing, I had no formal training. I had just had some classes in college and I had a summer internship. And so I think the world that we're living in today is very dynamic. Hiring managers are going to care more about your interest and ability to learn product marketing or product concepts quickly, your willingness to grow, your ability to work well with others, right? Because product marketing is a very cross-functional role, than if you know all of your role-related knowledge. Especially in tech, things are changing all the time. So I very much value flexibility and adaptability. I also think confidence is contagious. And I know I kind of touched on this earlier, but if you believe that you can do product marketing, that will come across in your informationals, your interviews, any way that you're trying to get started in product marketing. So stay grounded in what you bring to the table and let people see that you are a product marketing rock star.
Oh, I love that. Fantastic. And just last, but by no means least, Kelly, because it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. I've really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, likewise, Lawrence.
What do you think 2022 has in store for the product marketing community?
You know, I'm a big believer in marketing magic and marketing creating magic. So I think that it's going to be a lot more digital magic. This new world, right, that we're all working in is primarily online. And so we as product marketers need to be thinking about new and creative ways to reach our customers or our target audience. aspiring customers on the internet or on digital channels. And I think we also need to be very mindful about the amount and duration of content. Digital fatigue right now is a real thing. Like, I know that if I'm feeling it, my customers are feeling it too. So I'm challenging myself and I'm encouraging other product marketers to do the same about thinking about this idea of less is more, you know, whether that's less content and being very strategic and how you're repurposing it, or, you know, shorter, more pithy content and thinking and being strategic about how you're promoting it and getting it out there.
Fantastic. Kelly, it's been absolutely amazing. I've really, really enjoyed chatting with you. Hopefully you've enjoyed it too. And you just, thanks so much for your time. It's been fantastic.
Lawrence, thank you so much. I loved our conversation and it's just been an absolute pleasure. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And all the very best for 2022.
Same to you. Thank you so much.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show and speak about your day, a specific topic, or your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.